Welcome to the Codependent Me podcast. I'm Tamara Shaw, a recovering codependent, a codependent life coach, and the co-author of God Turned Mommy's Wine into Water. This podcast was created to increase the awareness of codependency and to give a more holistic look at the journey and healing of codependence. Welcome to the Codependent Me podcast. I am your host, Tamara Shaw, and today we have Emily Cleghorn with us. She is an inspirational speaker. She is author of Healing Childhood Traumas in the Midst of Parenting. Hello. She is a trauma recovery coach. She is a podcaster and an inspirational speaker. So, she has a lot of hats, but she found the time to come on the Codependent Me podcast, and we appreciate that. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, this is so good. We met on Podmatch, and thank you so much for reaching out. So you deal with a trauma that that moms basically have. So raising your babies while in trauma, and I've been there. I've done that. Mm-hmm. And it is not an easy job. And I wish that I had had a you when my children were young, because what you do is you pass on those same traumas to your babies because you don't know better yet. So before we even get started and get into that, please tell me about Emily.
All right. So I was born and raised in the beautiful, Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia.
Oh, nice.
In Canada, if you're not familiar where Nova Scotia or the Annapolis Valley are, it's in Canada, on the East Coast. And I was raised primarily by my paternal grandparents. From about the time I was 6 or 7 months old, my mom dropped me off and said, "Here you go, deal with her." And until I was, you know, five or six, my dad lived with us. At that time, he got married, and I was really close with my dad as a little girl because he was around all the time.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to go live with my dad. That was a really bad decision. I lived with my dad, my stepmom, and my stepbrother for about 18 months, during which time I was abused in all of the ways, and did not escape that until one Sunday evening. I was at my mom's house because I wasn't allowed to stay home on weekends.
Okay.
And something inside of my 7-year-old little head clicked and said, I am not going back there. So I went in my sister's room, packed up my bag, climbed under her big clunky wooden desk. Okay, we're talking mid-90s here, people. So, you know, big clunky furniture.
Yeah.
And put my bag in front of me and sat there.
Oh.
Until, like, my sister came in, my brother came in, people were calling for me, and I was not answering.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom came in. "Emily, where are you? Where'd you go?" Didn't answer until she noticed my bag there in the chair hole of my sister's desk. She moved it and I said, "I'm not going home."
Mm-hmm.
Well, crap. What am I going to do now?
Right.
So she gets on the phone, and that night I went back to live with my grandparents. I was seeing a child psychologist at that point because of suspected learning disabilities. That eventually stopped, and I'd had no tools for dealing with my trauma.
Right.
I was like 9 years old, I believe, 9 or 10, the first time I remember vocalizing to my grandmother that I didn't want to be alive anymore.
Oh my goodness.
And she looked at me and said, "We don't talk that way."
Oh.
So I didn't talk that way. I buried it.
Yeah.
I buried it. I buried it. I buried it. I buried it. Mm-hmm. And didn't talk that way.
Now we don't deal with it. Like, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's so funny because they just don't understand the words and how powerful mm-hmm. the words are. She probably meant something very different, right?
Probably.
But she didn't have the words to make you understand. She doesn't understand that she stifled you. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. So through middle school, high school, my early 20s until I was about, I don't know, 25 or 26, mm-hmm. I dealt with depression, anxiety, you know, all of those mm-hmm. things that come up from repressing your emotions.
Right.
And I was determined. I did a project in eighth grade, and it required me to look at statistics for kids who grew up in abusive homes. So mm-hmm. I saw the statistics, and I made up my mind in eighth grade that I was not going to be one of those statistics. That's not going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to school. I am a recovering perfectionist. I went to school, did the university thing, mm-hmm. moved across Canada about 5,500 kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles.
It's all good.
If we're comparing Canada to the US, mm-hmm. I went from like Maine to Montana.
Okay. That's okay. I get it now. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I went out there. There was nobody who knew me. Nobody mm-hmm. knew me. I could start fresh.
Right.
Nobody knew my past. And I made darn sure that nobody knew my past.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fresh start. Met the man that is now my husband, and we got married in 2016, and decided to start trying to have a family. I suffered from infertility for not as long as a lot of people suffer from infertility, and I was able to resolve it naturally with the help of a naturopath who explained to me that my stress response and the chronic stress that I had been living in, because I was stuck in that state for like 30 years.
Yeah.
And that does something to a body.
Absolutely.
So we started taking care of my stress response, and I did a cleanse, and we conceived our daughter, and she was born in 2018. And then our son followed like 2 weeks before the pandemic started in 2020.
Wow.
So, you know, the transition from being Emily, girl with a dark cloud over her head.
Yes.
Managing the dark cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Hiding the dark cloud to being mama, was incredibly triggering. And yeah. Not something that I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because we all feel as though we go over here and there's this empty plate, right?
Mm.
Fresh start. But we don't realize what we're taking to that empty plate is still, it still has all of the muck and
yeah,
trash and dirt and just all of the things that you're putting on this beautiful plate. Right?
Yeah.
Where you have to clean up the muck. And but who gave that? How beautiful that you felt, you knew in the eighth grade, I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want that. But you didn't have the tools.
No.
So you can have that. And I think that is beautiful. And I think it's that person in the eighth grade that gave you the courage to do what you're doing today, right? Because she knew, I don't want this. She just didn't know how to get rid of it. Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, It was before the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
This memory is so vivid for me. I was walking across the parking lot, going into my child psychologist's office. So I was 6 or 7 at right. this point. And I decided that someday when I was a grown up, I didn't know how at this point. Coaching wasn't a thing back then.
Right. Yeah.
Someday I was going to help kids like me. I didn't know how, but I knew that there were other kids whose parents didn't know how to love them, and that wasn't fair for them. And that wasn't right. Those, we don't ask to be born. We're just born, right? Right.
Yes.
We don't have control over that situation. Mm-hmm. So someday I was going to help kids like me.
How beautiful.
So it's been a lifetime.
Yes.
Coming to this point. So,
oh my goodness. What awareness for such a small person, right? This beautiful awareness of there is better.
Mm.
I don't know how to get there right now, but I know it's out there and I'm going to be a part of it. Oh, mm-hmm. Kudos. So you started moving forward. How did you learn that you had this trauma that was still deep inside and you needed to heal that?
Okay, so when my daughter was born, she looked like baby Emily. Like I could hold a baby picture of me up to her from 1989, and it was like somebody cloned me.
Wow.
And while that's incredibly adorable, it's also incredibly triggering.
Yes, yes.
So it took me a long time because I was sitting on my sofa looking down at this beautiful doppelganger of mine.
Yeah.
And my nervous system had alarm bells going off. Get the heck out of here. It is not safe. It's going to end up in pain. Just get out. And that was my nervous system's response.
Mm-hmm.
But cognitively, I was still able to say, no, if I do that, if I listen to that voice, I'm repeating the cycle.
Mm.
And the pain that I've had to deal with for the last 30 years is going to replay.
Right.
In another little girl who's going to chase her mommy's love.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, my husband would have been collateral damage.
Mm. That's good. Yeah. Wow.
So I had two choices. I could listen to that voice
mm-hmm.
and run and protect myself.
Right.
Or I could stay and figure it out and face it, even though it hurt.
Mm.
And let me tell you, in those first couple of months, it hurt. It was, well, some of the darkest days since 96, 97. When I was being abused.
Oh my goodness. And I can feel it in you right now. Like I can feel that trauma that rose up when you looked at her. I can literally see it on your face right now.
I call it my trauma freight train.
Wow.
And it knocked the wind out of me for a second.
Yeah. And so did your husband notice this at all?
Well, at first, I was silent about it because in my head, I was telling myself, you can't tell anybody that you feel this way, because if you tell them, you're an awful person, you're an awful mother, and they will judge you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So keep it quiet. Keep it together.
That's what it goes back to, that we don't talk that way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it took a long time, and like I would break down crying in the like for no apparent reason, and my husband would be like, "What is going on with you?" Nothing, nothing. Nothing. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Tears streaming down my face.
And you know, I'm pretty sure people were thinking, "Oh, postpartum," like so many different things.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I went and looked up charts to compare postpartum depression, baby blues, and other.
Wow.
And it, I went through the symptoms. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, no, it's not postpartum. It's not baby blues. It's my childhood demanding to be dealt with.
Demanding to be dealt with. Yes. Yes. Or like you said, you know, it was just, you were going to pass it down. You were going to pour it all over your children if you didn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. So tell me what you did when you figured it out.
So one of the first things I did was, find a therapist who I could speak to.
Mm.
At that point we were living in rural northern Alberta. So, is very secluded, mm-hmm. not a lot of resources. Like I'm talking, it's a minimum 4-hour drive to Walmart.
Yeah.
It's secluded.
Yeah.
So I found a therapist who I could speak to, over Zoom, and she helped me to differentiate, make the separation that I am not my mother.
Mm.
My daughter is not me, and I have the power and autonomy to make my own choices.
Yes.
I am not confined to make the choices that my biological mother made back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
As well-intentioned as, and like she did the best she could with what she had at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I could make my own.
Yes. Yes.
And that was a powerful shift.
Absolutely.
For me.
Yes, for sure.
I also found a community of experienced mamas who could offer support.
Community is very essential.
Oh, it is. It's a make or break kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. Like
absolutely.
if you don't have a community on those days that are inevitably going to be not so great,
yeah.
when things hit the fan,
mm-hmm.
you've got somebody to back you up.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you don't, you're, well, this is too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to stop.
Right. Yeah. That's so good. So good. And so when did you write the book?
I wrote my book originally. The first draft I launched in February of 2021. Mm. It was around that time where I cut off communication with my biological mom.
Okay.
She was not happy with my book being published. There's very little in it about her, and I speak about anybody with as much respect as I can.
Absolutely.
And my book, Rising from the Ashes, Reclaiming Your Life After a Traumatic Childhood, is less about me. I use examples from my experience because, but it's more about the things that I learned I needed to have.
That's beautiful.
Like believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Giving yourself permission, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's so awesome. So wonderful. Will you say the name again, just so the audience can hear it?
Rising from the Ashes, Reclaiming Your Life After a Traumatic Childhood.
Oh.
So I did some edits last year in 2023 and released a second edition. And with the second edition, I created a workbook to go along with it, because it's great to read advice or get a blueprint of sorts, but the power is in the action.
Absolutely. You got to do the work.
You got to do the work if you want the change.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just a really good story.
Right. Oh, that's so, really, really good. Really, really good. Where can they find the book?
You can find the digital copies of the book on my website, home.mendedmamalife.ca, or you can find it on Amazon.
Nice. Very, very nice. And so this led you to be a trauma recovery coach.
Yeah.
And when did you become a trauma coach?
I did my dual certification in, I started in 2020, finished in the spring of 2021. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing.
It is.
I don't know what else to say other than it's amazing.
No, it is true. Excuse me. I was talking to someone a couple of days ago, just telling them that sometimes we go through these things, right? Mm-hmm. These horrific things that you're like, somebody on the outside may go, oh my goodness, I just hate that you had to go through that and blah, blah, blah. And I love, you know, thank you for that. But there is a purpose in pain, right? Mm-hmm. So if you had not gone through all that sweet little Emily went, you wouldn't be able to stand before us today as this beautiful, healing adult Emily out here. For the world.
Yeah.
For the world. Ah, how wonderful. That is so, that's so beautiful, right? So, and I always tell people, I get so much out of coaching. Like, I need it, because that is, they're my people, right? That's our tribe. That's our community. So we have our times where we lead certain things in that community, but that is our community.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So awesome. And so you have these beautiful action plans for trauma mamas.
Yeah.
You want to tell the audience about it?
So the overarching plan, action plan that I follow with my clients is called the Mended Mama Method. Mm-hmm. So there are four main pillars and then subsections within each. The first pillar is all about building a trigger toolbox, because mamahood is triggering.
Yes.
And if you grew up in a chaotic, abusive environment, and did not learn how to manage your emotions, and your nervous system does not know what calm feels like, how are you supposed to teach a little person whose only way of communicating with you at first is crying and screaming and developmentally, temper tantrums are necessary. So you need to be able to handle those and help your kids learn how to regulate.
Yeah.
Because our kids co-regulate. They use our calm nervous system to calm themselves. Yeah. But if we're not calm, it escalates them even more. So the red cup instead of the blue cup becomes the end of the world instead of, well, let's just take a breath here.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Let's talk about this here and calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll figure this out. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
Dear sweet child. So working through building your trigger toolbox, and there are so many different tools that you can use. I mean, every tool for every person, everybody's tools are different because everybody is different. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we're created. And then the second pillar, we work on casting a vision and like identifying why it's so important, like the deep why, mm-hmm. like not, I want my life to be better, but like really why?
Right.
And what do you want instead of the fear and the grief and the trauma cloud hanging over your head?
Mm-hmm.
And discovering your true identity, because there is the person you were told to be in your trauma, and there's the person you were created to be.
That's good.
And then we walk through the stepping stones of building confidence, building your empowerment, your self-empowerment muscle, and beginning to discover your purpose. Because you have one. You matter.
Absolutely.
And then after we work on mama and calming mama down, then in the fourth pillar, we work on improving your relationship connections.
That's really good.
Because when you're calm and somebody comes at you not calm, you have the tools to handle that person.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If they're your Uncle Bill or your mom or Granny Sue or whoever, you know? Yeah. So that's the core. There are a few other smaller ones.
Mm-hmm.
One for believing in yourself, one for owning your self-worth. There's it's deep work. It's good work. It's hard work, but it's deep work.
Right. And I'm so glad that you work with people about, because there's layers. It's so many layers. Mm-hmm. So many layers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like an onion.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, and you are really breaking it down and working with them, you know, slowly, right?
Yeah.
We'll get there. You'll deal with it one pillar at a time, right?
Yeah. One step at a time.
That is so beautiful. So I had in here, I was reading your profile on Podmatch, and you said that holistic healing approach was very important in healing childhood traumas. Let's talk about that.
Oh, man. So earlier I mentioned how I suffered from infertility because of my stress response.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get a little geeky on you for a second with the science. So your nervous system, your central nervous system, has two main branches, your sympathetic and your parasympathetic. So your fight or flight response is part of your sympathetic nervous system. When your sympathetic nervous system is activated in your body, you produce a lot of cortisol. Cortisol is your stress hormone. And it is only produced to, like, run from a bear, get you out of a stressful, life-dangering situation. But when cortisol is being produced, digestion slows. Okay. So if your sympathetic nervous system is activated, and you're producing a lot of cortisol, and you eat a sandwich, that sandwich is going to sit in your stomach like a rock.
Wow.
Because your body is not digesting that food at an optimal level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if your body is not digesting your food at an optimal level, that means that your body was created so geniusly that it has reserves of all the vitamins and minerals that are needed to break down that food.
Okay.
So that you can, your digestive tract can get rid of it.
Yeah.
If you stay in your sympathetic nervous system state for a prolonged period of time, your vitamin and mineral reserves are going to be depleted. And when they are depleted, there are problems.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is, cortisol is also really hard on your body for a prolonged period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It, when cortisol is being produced, other hormones slow down as well. So your digestion slows down and your other hormone production, like pregnancy hormones, are slowed down, or reproductive hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get irregular cycles, painful cycles, all of that type of stuff, fatigue, poor digestion, mm-hmm. like heartburn, a whole gamut of stuff comes up. So in order for me, to heal, I needed to heal my fertility. I needed to calm my body. And I also needed to clear out a lot of the guck that was just sitting in my system from being stuck in a sympathetic state.
Right.
Because if your digestion isn't optimal, it's not, you're not clearing things out.
Right.
You're holding toxins in your body, and that's not good either.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to clear out the gunk, love on my body with different herbs and vitamins and minerals, and support my hormonal health.
Mm-hmm.
And when my body had the support that it required to go from a sympathetic state to a parasympathetic state, I got knocked up pretty quick. Like, it was very surprising.
Wow.
Because we were going the traditional route
mm-hmm.
of going to the OB, doing the pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. and it wasn't enough for my body. I miscarried.
Oh, wow.
And so it was only one miscarriage was enough trauma for me.
Absolutely.
I put a hard stop on that situation and figured it out.
Good for you.
And the naturopath that I saw explained everything. He sat there and he listened to my story, mm-hmm. and he was like, okay, here's what's going on.
Right.
In you and I terms, like not doctor terms.
Absolutely.
People terms, so that mm-hmm. I could understand and know what I needed to do.
Absolutely.
With his instruction. So we did exactly as he instructed me. So I miscarried the end of September, September 27th, 2017.
Mm.
I found out we went to the naturopath on the weekend of November 11th.
Okay.
By December 19th, I had a positive pregnancy test.
Nice.
When your body is supported.
Yes.
It can heal.
Absolutely.
Because your body's main priority is to stay alive. It doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to die. And it doesn't matter if your trauma was physical,
mm-hmm.
if there were bumps and bruises and cuts and broken bones, or if it was emotional, psychological, sexual, it doesn't matter what type of trauma you experience. Your body is affected mm-hmm. physically.
Absolutely. Completely.
So while it's important to care for your spiritual health and your emotional health, trauma also impacts your physical health.
Absolutely.
And so often in our North America mainstream society, we compartmentalize. I'll go to my family doctor or my surgeon or mm-hmm. the people who take care of my physical health, but ignore my mental health or my emotional health. And I'll go to the therapist or the coach or the psychiatrist for my emotional health, and they don't take into account your physical health.
Right.
So we need to marry the two.
Right.
Because I am a whole person.
Absolutely. And the body tells the tale every time.
Oh, it does.
It's funny that it comes up probably out of 10 podcasts, 10 episodes, it would come up 8 times mm-hmm. where the body tells the tale. Like, you have to pay attention to your body because it completely holds all of everything, all of your traumas mm-hmm. and your, whether it's guilt or happy, it holds it all.
It's all in there.
Absolutely. So that is, I'm so glad that you talked about that, because a lot of people, I mean, even when it comes just to the digestive system, I remember being mm-hmm. young and, you know, my grandmother, I'm like, I can't go. She's like, just calm down. Just mm-hmm. calm down. And so, you know, so I find myself going, okay, let me just calm down. Because if you're anxious, you know, it's not, certain things is just not going to flow.
So. Well, yeah, if you're all tensed up.
This ain't going to be any movement. But
not going to work. It's right. Not going to work.
So your podcast, let yeah. the audience know what the name of the podcast is and what you talk about.
Yeah. So I am the host, creator mm-hmm. of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. And this is a podcast for mamas who are navigating childhood trauma while also parenting their little ones. And we have all of the conversations that everybody is thinking about, a lot of people are struggling with and refuse to talk about. We have those conversations on the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. Because, you know, I really believe that emotional and psychological wounds are a lot like a cut on your skin. That cut on your skin needs air to heal. You need to talk about the emotional hard stuff in order to work through it. And if you don't want to talk about it with out loud, like I'm talking to you now, that's cool, but you got to get it out. Mm-hmm. You got to give it air.
Yeah, for sure.
So those are the conversations that we have. I've had guests come and talk about a lot of my guests, I should say, are trauma survivors themselves. They've dedicated their lives, their mamahood to healing. Nice. And then they share their story. They share what modality worked for them, because there are so many. The mm-hmm. It's a huge array of things. We talk about surviving suicide. We talk about trauma's impact on autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. We talk about how trauma is like a whack-a-mole. Healing trauma is like a whack-a-mole. I've had other authors come on the show and share about their books. There's so many amazing people that I have had the privilege to meet. Mm-hmm. Because of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. So there's something for everyone.
And yes.
Yeah.
And what platform can they find your podcast?
So I am on all major podcast platforms as well as YouTube. So you can find it on my YouTube channel as well. And on my website, there is a blog for almost every episode.
Okay.
Excellent. That's a work in progress.
Absolutely. I understand. But they have a way to get to them all.
Yeah.
Maybe a different source. But so definitely go check out Emily's podcast, Mamahood After Trauma. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. That is wonderful. Emily, this has been a pleasure. So wonderful to talk to you today. Oh my goodness. You're doing wonderful things. I honor you for having the courage to bring all of this to the forefront, to write the book, even though you know there were people that didn't really want you to write it. You still moved forward because you know that there is purpose to everything that you've gone through and everything that you're placing in the world right now. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Very awesome. Well, I always ask my guests if they could tell the audience one thing, what would it be?
Give yourself grace.
Give yourself grace.
Because healing trauma of any kind at any time in your life is hard work.
Yeah.
Give yourself grace.
Yeah.
Love on yourself.
For
because
sure.
Because you matter.
Because you matter. Hello. Hello. That's good stuff. Well, Emily, thank you so much. I will put all of your information in the show notes so audience know if you want to talk to her, go on the podcast, check out the book, website. It'll all be in the show notes. So please, please, please check Emily out. She is a jewel. You're welcome. I want to again thank you for being on the show. I want to let the audience know that I am very clear that you can choose any podcast, but you chose this one, and I thank you. And I want to also let you know that you matter and your story matters. And until next time, bye.
I understand that nothing is more valuable than your time, so thank you for listening. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Codependent Me, and check out my website at codependentme.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day.